You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. With me on the phone this morning, U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. How are you? Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Hey, good to have you with us. The Senate is expected to pass fast-track authority for President Obama to negotiate major trade deals, I understand. Paul Ryan says he's got the votes for the trade promotion authority in the House as well. This is an extremely rare case of Republicans praising the president while Democrats are opposed to clearing the way for what would be a 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership. What's going on here?
Well, we're working hard to get the votes, and it looks like we probably do have them. We'll have some amendments to the bill on the floor today and the rest of the week, so we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but right now things are shaping up well. It's important. You know, Arkansas exported, I believe, about $7 billion worth of products last year. It's up 100% since 2004. So it really is good for the state. It's good for jobs, and that's really what it's all about. I think we have to have the attitude that we've got one customer here, 20 customers overseas. But these deals, and it's all this does is give the ability of the president to negotiate a trade agreement. It's not about a specific trade agreement yet. It gives him the ability to negotiate. But he does have to have that ability because it would be very difficult if you had all members of Congress, you know, trying to negotiate at the same time.
What's even more unusual about this is that not all Republicans are for it. There's a lot of skepticism about free trade deals, and there are members of the Tea Party movement who are joining with Democrats and opposing it. There's fear that it could actually cost the U.S. more jobs. Do you have any concerns about that?
Well, you do have concerns about that. Again, this gives the president the trade act that we're talking about now gives the president the ability to negotiate a deal, and then later on we'll get to vote on a specific deal with the Asian countries. But right now we're just voting on whether or not he has that. So yeah, you know, it's not about free trade; it's about fair trade. And so at the end of the day, we'll be looking later on as to what is negotiated and making sure that that's good for both sides. This is a huge thing, and we need to get it right. It's about 40% of the world's GDP, so it's very, very important.
Well, there are a lot of concerns and criticism about this proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership. There's critics of the agreement that are concerned about a chapter on intellectual property, which they feel is trying to slip in strict copyright restrictions and internet censorship language into the law. Have you heard about these concerns, and what are your feelings about them?
Very much so, and we have to look at all of those kind of things. And there's a number of other things that are there. Agriculture is as always a sticking point, making sure that those markets are opened up fairly. So at some point, we will, know what the Trans-Pacific bill looks like, and then we'll get to vote on it. Right now, we're just giving the authority for the president to negotiate. But no, this is very, very important that we get this right, and again, protect the American worker. On the other hand, I think all of us are really tired of seeing these container ships, filled to the brink, coming over here without a lot of American products, as many American products as we'd like, going the other way. So this is an effort to level the playing field and give us more market access to the Asian countries when that particular vote comes up.
Here's another question I've heard. Why is Congress willing to give the president authority to negotiate a major trade deal in Pacific Rim, but gave so much trouble, was unwilling to authorize his negotiation of a major nuclear deal with Iran? Why are you willing to trust him on this, but you won't trust him on the other?
Well, as all this does is give him the ability to negotiate the deal. Very importantly, though, once the deal is negotiated, then Congress is going to have an up or down vote as to whether or not it's acceptable. And that's really what we've requested in regard to the Iranian situation, making sure that once the president has struck a deal with Iran, that the American people, that the Congress has the right to review that and then decide if it's a good deal or a bad deal. If you can't sell it to the American people and you can't sell it to Congress, then it's probably not a very good deal.
Does this give the president more power, though? I mean, Republicans have complained about the president's executive actions and about him acting unilaterally and abusing his power. Does this give him more power that you feel he might abuse?
No, this is something that's been done by past presidents. This particular authority, I believe, is a six-year deal, and so it will extend into the next president, whoever that is. The reality is, in order to negotiate a huge sweeping thing like this with other countries, you have to give the administration the ability to negotiate, and then you look at what they're negotiated, and you decide, is it a good deal or bad? Also, while they are negotiating, then certainly members of Congress are weighing in with the administration, telling them what's important, and dealing with them, on a weekly basis as to, what they're hearing, what they're thinking as to what needs to be included, what not to include. And you mentioned earlier, some concerns that we have. And so I think that's the way that you actually get it done.
Well, we mentioned internet usage a minute ago. I know the subcommittee you chair, Financial Services and General Government Appropriations, heard testimony last week from SEC Chair Tom Wheeler about providing affordable broadband to rural America. And this is an especially important issue for Arkansas, as we've been behind other states in this area. What did you learn from his testimony?
Well, we're not behind. We're at the bottom. Yeah. And so it is very, very important. And certainly, to be... in a situation where you compete in the future, you have to have broadband access. And so the good news was that myself, the other senators, one from Delaware, one from Oklahoma, one from Kansas, all of us rural states, even Delaware is a very rural state once you get out of the major city. We all expressed the importance of this and just, went on and on with Chairman Wheeler, making sure that he understood. And the good news is that he does. And so we're going to stay after him. This was a step by our subcommittee. Several other committees have weighed in on this. And so we're just going to hold their feet to the fire and make sure that states like Arkansas are able to participate and get the broadband use that they need.
Is there a plan and a timetable and something like that in place to move forward on this front?
They're supposed to make significant steps by the end of the year, as far as planning. And so we've had this hearing. I think that we'll have them in later in the year and make sure that, things are moving forward so that we, get the kind of service that we need in Arkansas and throughout the rest of the country. And again, not only providing it, but making sure that it's affordable. Mm-hmm. You can have things and them simply not be affordable, but we need affordable broadband. Back in the old days, Mark, we used to talk about infrastructure. We would talk about roads and bridges and water infrastructure. Now you have to throw in the broadband with that. Mm-hmm. It's so very, very important, if you're a student or if you're a business or if you're a retiree, trying to conduct business with the government. So this is something that we really are focused on and doing our best to get done.
It is a vital part of infrastructure. And speaking of infrastructure, the roads, bridges, and so on, dams and things like that are still needed and necessary. And is there a plan to invest in these, to really invest in these in the next few years?
Well, right now we're working on the reauthorization of the highway program, and we haven't really identified a funding stream yet, but lots of hard work is going into that. So probably what will happen, we'll either have a two-month extension. Actually, the Highway Trust Fund is doing a little bit better now because of the fact that fuel prices are lower and people are traveling a little bit more and contributing more to the fund. So we'll either have a two-month extension or maybe an extension until the end of the year in an effort at the end of that, whatever the extension is, to come up with a five to six-year program, which we desperately need in the sense that our planners, our commissioners, they need the ability to know that they're going to have long-term funding to do these projects that cost a lot of money.
Yeah. And of course, we want to keep those projects on board and not have them shut down in the middle.
No, that's exactly right. In Arkansas, we're already seeing the effects of that. The commission has announced, that they've had to quit funding, discontinue work on projects, and that's costing jobs, which, is important. But also, it's not only the job that you get in the sense of building the project, it's the economic activity that comes after that. These projects are projects of significance, And so at the end of the day, you'll have economic activity and create a lot more jobs once they're put into place.
And the Senate and House has passed a budget plan. The claim is that this plan will balance the federal budget in 10 years without raising taxes, seal up the borders, reform the tax code, and fix health care. It sounds a little like pie in the sky to me.
Well, you have to take a start. You know, you have to take a step in the right direction. And just getting a budget is a step in the right direction. And you know, this is the first time we've had a budget probably in 6 or 7 years. It's difficult to work out, but we do have one that gives us a framework, a template as to how we spend the discretionary income, well over $1 trillion. So how do you do that, you know, without a plan, without a budget? So we do have a plan. We're going to work really hard to implement that plan and, make it such that at some point in time, hopefully in 10 years, we'll actually have a balanced budget.
Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Of course, Memorial Day is coming up. We want to remember our veterans and those who've lost their lives in the service of our country. And I know there's a lot of veterans issues that you're continuing to work on as well.
We do. There's a number of things, and making sure that we keep the promises that we've made to veterans, throughout the years. And so we're working hard with VA Health. We're also working hard to make sure that those coming back, those that have been injured, those that suffer, as a result of being in the military, that their claims are done in a timely fashion. So there's lots of work being done, and the good news is we're actually making some progress in that direction. But you're right, this is the time of the year, and certainly we should think about this every day, the sacrifice of those that are out serving us. There's been a lot of negative things that have happened as a result of 9/11, but I do think that right now the country is much more aware of the service and sacrifice of our military and much more appreciative than they have been in many, many years.
And we still have to see some significant progress on these the VA issues and getting the health care and the mental care that they need and all the things that they need when they are able to come home.
No, you're exactly right. These are things that it's just an ongoing situation that we have to continue to work on. We've done some good things. The 40-mile rule, making it such that if you couldn't get an appointment on time or, were over 40 miles, that you could go to the local health care provider and they would do it and then bill the VA. Those are good things. They're all steps in the right direction, but we've still got a lot of work to do.
Now, do you have any particular plans for Memorial Day?
We're in the process of finalizing those now, but I'm not exactly sure what part of the state I'll be in. But
you'll be in the state.
But we'll be in the state, okay. And again, taking the time to reflect on, the service and sacrifice, not only of the people that serve, but their families. And it is a family affair, and it's something that, it's just a nice time of the year.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, as always, for having me.
Senator John Bozeman joining us from his office in Washington.